We return again to the book of Proverbs this evening to reflect upon the wisdom that is contained in Proverbs 21, verse 5. Proverbs 21, verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. In this proverb, we deal with busyness, not business in the general, the marketplace, the exchange of goods and of services, no, but more specifically, that activity, that momentum by which men and women and young people are moving from here to there to accomplish things, to get things, to advance themselves. Busyness. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want. And so we have, as we look upon this proverb, we have two kinds of busyness, yet they are two very different kinds of busyness: diligence and haste. Let us look at this proverb as we look at these two very different kinds of busyness, diligence and haste. First, we'll look at two busy men. Second, two polar opposite results. And third, two very opposite mentalities. So first, two busy men. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteous, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Now, there are proverbs that deal with inactivity, specifically that sinful inactivity when one should be working and instead he is not. When one is abusing that lawful need that we have to take a load off, to take it easy, to refresh and to renew ourselves. But we're not talking about lazy men here. We're talking about busy men. Both of them are busy. You cannot fault either one for failing to be busy. They're active. They get up in the morning. They do things. They have a schedule. They have certain tasks. They don't just expect that everything is going to land right in their lap. The world is not their oyster in such a way as that they don't have to go and dive for the oyster. No, they realize they have to do that. So they're active. They're in the streets. They're getting into their vehicles, they're getting on the roads and the highways, they're transporting, they're accruing, they're buying, they're selling, they're talking, they're conferring, they're busy. Two busy men. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteous, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. And yet, second, these two busy men experience two polar opposite results. Now, polar opposite, of course, we speak in this way to suggest that which is the very opposite, the very antithesis of the other. The one experiences at the end of his busyness abundance and plenty. The other one, he's been busy as well, but the end result is want or lack. The thoughts of the diligent man, he experiences plenteousness. Good because of the physical comforts it provides. He has ample resources for his basic needs and those who depend upon him. And not just that, he has ample resources for creature comforts. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. He also experiences good, not just in the physical comforts that he enjoys because of his diligent thinking, but there are also mental comforts. They're not very tangible. You can't really touch them, but they're real, all right. Peace of mind, a sense of security. You see, if you go into the cellar and there's nothing on the shelves, then you sense that you don't have what you need. But that's not what he experiences. He has peace of mind because he's worked and because he's been diligent and he has stored up. And he also has peace of mind because he enjoys a sense of dignity. He does not lack that value that one lacks because he is lazy and he's been loafing and sitting around, and then finally during harvest time, his stomach is telling him, feed me, feed me, and yet I have nothing because I've not been working. Well, that's your own fault. Shame on you. The other result is its polar opposite. The thoughts of everyone that is hasty only to want or lack. He ends up experiencing physical discomforts because of the inadequate resources that he has for his basic needs. Never mind creature comforts. And on top of that, there is, instead of the security, the peace of mind, so he doesn't have to be staying up late at night worrying what's going to come to pass, he has a sense of anxiety, sometimes panic, and then, to compound that, shame and embarrassment. I should have known better. Well, we see these two busy men, and we see their profoundly different results. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Now, what accounts for these two forms of busyness yielding such very different results? These two polar opposite results are because of two polar opposite mentalities. It's not just diligent actions that the proverb is speaking about here, or hasty actions. It's talking about thoughts. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone, that is, the thoughts of everyone that is hasty, only to want. The problem is because of programming. It's because they have two different mentalities, two very different kinds of mental busyness. They both have an information gathering and interpreting framework. We all have that. We all take in the data of this world that streams into our eyes and into our ears, and we interpret it. We try to make sense of it. And we have self-interest, and so as we take in this data and we interpret it, it is that pattern, that regular habit and tendency of gathering and interpreting, it is that frame of mind that determines what decisions are made. For example, somebody who tends to be overly optimistic. Everything always seems so very rosy. He kind of has a Pollyanna view of the world. Everything's going to turn out all right. Don't worry. Be happy. It'll all smooth out. It's going to be fine. And that's the grid by which he looks at the world. And that, of course, determines from that mentality how he acts. And very easily he can act in a cavalier way when there are serious decisions that need to be made. For example, now we're not talking about an overly optimistic mentality right now. We're talking about the mentality of the diligent man and the mentality of the hasty man. There are two kinds of busyness, two kinds of mental frameworks that interpret reality and make the decisions by which they live their life. It's how you think that determines your actions, your habits, your lifestyle. Don't get so frustrated about all those other things out there. They're always going to be there. They're going to come and go. But the Christian realizes that the source of everything in my life comes from how I think, and therefore I need to take that seriously, and I need to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. I cannot allow my thinking to be conformed to this world, because what's going to happen there? My life is going to be conformed to this world. It's your mentality. And we constantly need to be challenged about our mentality. If you're not a Christian, your mentality is fundamentally wrong. Now, it's going to take different shapes. Maybe you're not the lazy man, but you're the hasty man. But you're still the natural man. And you need to be converted. You need a new mentality. You need repentance, which literally means in the Greek, change of mind. But Christian, you need your mentality checked again and again and again. You need it maintained. You need it recalibrated. Sometimes you need a mentality overhaul. Do you tonight, Christian? Do you need a mentality check? Do you need a mentality overhaul? What's the pattern of your thinking? If you're a Christian, you have the mind of Christ. But you've got to grow into that, as it were. You need to appropriate that. You need to draw forth from the wells of the grace of God that is in you. It doesn't just automatically happen. Your life won't change until you start changing your patterns of thinking. Short-circuiting those wrong patterns, those wrong cycles of thinking, and confronting them with God's Word. Well, specifically, our text is dealing with certain shapes and forms of the mentalities of the wise and the fool, the Christian and the non-Christian. Here's the diligent mentality, and this is what causes him to experience, generally speaking, plenteousness, abundance, in many different categories and dimensions of his life. It's not uniform. It's not always as though you're going to earn six figures today or ever earn them for that matter. But as life, you will experience abundance. I am, says Jesus, that my sheep might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So that even if God puts a thorn in your flesh and you pray for three times and it will be taken away, he will give an abundance of grace to be sufficient for you. And that's abundance too. Well, let's consider this diligent mentality. These are his thoughts. You must be busy to prosper, but not just busy. You must be thorough to prosper. The root word in the Hebrew for diligent has the idea of to cut and sharpen, to be decisive, determinative. When you cut, you fully commit to cutting. You don't engage in short cuts, you cut all the way through. His mentality is that you must be patient to prosper. You must be patient to prosper. We want to speed things up, so oftentimes we want things to go, go, go. And yet oftentimes, things that are done well are done at a slower pace. When you are committed, there is no looking back. You start what you have finished if you are first determined to finish. Let patience have her perfect work. I've decided. I'm going forward with this. I'm going to persevere through. I'm going to do this thoroughly. And I'm not going to give up when I get tired and discouraged and disappointed. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. And ultimately, what is at the root of all these thoughts in the mind of the diligent one is the fear of the Lord. Because after all, this is his world. He made goods. He made labor that achieves those goods. He ordained the processes. He ordained the distinct steps and their order for labor. He ordains the times and the amount of time that must be spent in labor to obtain certain goods. The diligent man thinks these things. It's God's world. So he's not just resigned to these processes that need to be done thoroughly, processes that often take time, a long time, and that force me to wait and to endure. He doesn't just resign to these things and grit his teeth and bear it. He accepts them as coming from God, and he celebrates. He's busy, but he's busy and thorough and patient. And he sees thoroughness and patience as not enemies to be feared, but as friends to be welcomed. He does not fight God's reality, but he revels in it. The hasty mentality, on the other hand, it's a very different kind of busyness. There are other similar proverbs that make sloth, the antithesis of diligence. We've already considered that, but the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Here, the contrast of the diligence is haste. Going too quickly. Taking shortcuts. Not taking the time to do something right. And then paying for it in the end. This is his mentality. You must be resigned to activity. It has to be done. That makes him different from the lazy man. He's resigned to activity. He's got to get off his posterior and move. He's got to exert himself in order to prosper. You can't really escape that. But you don't need to be thorough. There are always shortcuts. Skip all unnecessary, redundant steps. Oh, and impatience is actually a virtue. It shortens the irritation of time. Oh, the monotony, the tedium of time. Impatience, on the other hand, gets the ball rolling. With impatience, you can get to the finish line faster and enjoy yourself longer. And God? What God? Now, of course, we know of many hasty people who don't formally deny God, but when you drill down deep enough, isn't this mentality simply the opposite of fearing God with respect to being busy? The root problem of the hasty man is that he lives in God's world, yet God is not in all his thoughts. He knows God deep down, but he chafes against God's order, God's processes, God's timing. It grates on her. And so she's going to short-circuit things. He'll circumvent the obstacles. He's going to defy God's reality. Now, he's never going to tell you that. But that's exactly what he's doing. Trying to get it done quick, quick. At its very core is fighting against God. He will have prosperity on his and not on God's terms. Now, if you are busy, as we close, if you are busy, what kind of busy person are you? What is your mentality? Are you this hasty one? Do you realize that you have to work? And so you do it because you have to. Otherwise, the bills are just going to pour in and it's going to create even more problems. You don't see work as something that is a gift from God, but as a necessary evil. But you resign to it. And you're going to get it done as quick as you can so that you can relax in the end. Is that you? Are you the one who says, yes, I've got to do it, but you don't need to be thorough? You can always take shortcuts. Do you find yourself impatient? It's going too slow. It should be going faster. I'm so irritated that I have to be dealing with this still when I could be doing something else. And at the bottom of it, is there a rejection of the God who has made the order and the time and the processes by which he would bless you or are you diligent? The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. You're busy, but you strive to be thoroughly busy, to do things in a thorough way, and so sometimes that means you've got to say no to certain things. You know what? I've got to prioritize. I've only got so many hours in the day, so if I'm going to do something well, that means I have to sacrifice this. Because I'm just one man. I'm just one woman. I've got to give it to God on the final day and say, Lord, here are your talents. You didn't give me 10, you gave me 5. But here's 10. Double of what you gave me. Maybe you only received one talent, and yet you will be thorough, you will be faithful, you will be diligent with how you use that one talent. You cultivate and develop it for His praise. You don't take shortcuts. And when you do, you repent of them. You're thorough in your calling, even when mother and father isn't watching. The homework that you're doing, the schooling, the chores, even when your boss isn't watching, you know that God is. And so whatever you do with all your might, as unto the Lord and not unto man. You strive to be thorough in your studies. You strive to be thorough in your relationships. You know, it's so easy to have just a million relationships now with social media. And it's very easy to fail to invest in quality relationships. We need to be thorough. That's not to say that there's no place for having many friends on social media. It's just we've got to keep perspective. We can't have our wife saying our name 5, 6, 7 times while we're busily discussing something online with somebody in Senegal. There are no shortcuts when it comes to doing God's work. That's in your thoughts. She is thorough in her parenting. She will not just scold, but obey the rod, nor will he wield the rod, but fail to speak words of love, peace, and reconciliation in Christ, which takes time. Oh, but I need to get it done quick. So I'm just going to bark at her and put her in place. No, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. That means sometimes that you've got to take time away from less important things. And this applies, of course, doesn't it, to the pastoring of the leaders of the church. To be thorough and diligent in their business of caring for the flock. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteous, but of everyone that is hasty, only a want. She is persistent with a devout trust in God who ordains the ends and the means to those ends. He does not give up. He hopes in his Savior. Others may disappoint him, but he hopes in the Lord and in his promises. Love never fails. He doesn't give up in his friendships, in his church commitments, in her marriage, in the use of gospel ordinances. It is the thoughts of the diligent that tend only to plenteousness. Remember the words of the Catechism: to escape the wrath and curse of God due to us for sin, God requireth of us faith in Jesus Christ, repentance unto life, with the diligent use of all the outward means whereby Christ communicates the benefits of redemption. Blessed is the man that heareth me, waiting daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. If you are diligent, not taking shortcuts with the means of grace, not saying, oh, I'm so busy, I can't go to the closet this morning. I can't be with my God. No. If we are diligently using the means of grace, these thoughts will tend to abundance, abundance of assurance, abundance of confidence, abundance of good works. Are you this man? Are you this woman? Who has God in all your thoughts? That busyness is a religious thing. It's always religious. That the moment you have said Amen in your private prayers, that you have not ceased serving God. Well, when our heart condemns us, let us turn our eyes to the truly diligent man who took no shortcuts. No shortcuts to glory. But whose thoughts were diligent even when he had his own disciple Peter saying, Lord, it cannot be that you will go to the cross. Get thee behind me, Satan. He could have been easily set back. He could have been diverted, but he did not. He set his face as flint. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, and it is on account of that that we enjoy the riches of salvation. Amen. Let us close in prayer. O Lord, now we thank Thee for Christ, who was diligent and faithful, patient and persevering to the very end, and through this has given us great riches. Now by Thy Spirit, change our minds, renew them, O God. Restore our thinking. Grant us to be busy, but busy in diligence. We ask now Thy favor, O God, to enrich us even this evening through Christ. Amen. Our closing.